Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Lake podcast, where we're going to be exploring above and below the surface. We'll take a deep dive into the world of fishing, diving, and surfing. Every week, we're going to sit down with experts to learn more about them and get their freshest, hottest takes on all things salty. Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Lake podcast. I'm your host, Cheyenne Bearson, and today we have James Ferrara on with us. Today, we're going to discuss his recent trip to Mexico. James, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Happy to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has. What have you been up to?
Lately, been kind of laying low. We're doing a trip to Antarctica next year, so we're just kind of chilling out, trying to save some money, and nothing too crazy. But yeah, that's about it.
That's awesome. That's going to be an exciting trip.
Oh, yeah. Very excited for that one.
What are you guys going to be doing over there?
So we're taking a sailboat across the Drake Passage for a month. And so we'll be over there for a full month, just documenting leopard seals, orcas, humpbacks, just penguins, whatever we can find.
Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. So tell us a little bit about yourself for those of our listeners who might not know too much about who you are.
Okay. Well, my name's James. My main career is a firefighter paramedic. Been working for Martin County Fire Rescue for 16 years now. And then my side job is a professional photographer, mostly doing underwater. Started that about 8 years ago, and just all self-taught. Started out spearfishing, and it kind of morphed into the whole photography thing. So been doing that. Recently, was able to get got some awards, not like major awards, but got in the Ocean Photographer of the Year. Got some highly commended photos in that, and also Underwater Photographer of the Year. So that was pretty cool. Haven't quite cracked in the top three yet, but one of these days I'll get one.
And, I'm sure that's next.
I'm trying. We'll see. There's a lot of good photographers out there, so it's pretty competitive.
I've seen a lot of your stuff, and it's amazing. And just like how clear it is and how close you're able to get in these encounters, it's crazy.
Yeah, it takes a lot of editing to that. Particle removal and trying to make sure everything's clean, but it's worth it in the end.
So when you went to Mexico, can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, how long was your stay? What were you guys doing there?
Yeah. So a trip we wanted to do for a while. So they have the sardine run happens. It's in outside of Mag Bay, which is the Pacific side of Mexico, like about 5 hours north of Cabo. So they have a big sardine run that comes through, and they get everything from marlin, sea lions, whales that come through and feed on all this. And this year there was a weird phenomena that there was a late season hurricane that came pretty close to the coast, and it kind of messed up the water temps. So the water was a lot warmer than normal. So the sardines and the marlin were actually almost 10 to 15 miles further out than they normally are. So it made for really long days on the water. But what it brought in was something they've never seen in these kind of numbers was mahi. I mean, there would be thousands of mahi working these bait balls. So that was a cool little surprise.
How long were you guys out for, like, during these day trips?
So it was like a week trip total, but and we come back to the hotel every night. But we'd leave every morning. And because the bait was a lot farther out and the marlin were, it was probably a 4 to 5 hour ride out, and we'd only in like a little, 28-foot panga. So not the most comfortable, but, and then we'd only get like maybe 3-4 hours of action, and then the big trip home. So it was an exhausting week for sure.
Oh, I bet it was an adrenaline rush too, seeing it all every day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So basically we only had of the 6 days on the water, we only had 1 day of marlin, a good marlin action, because they were so far out. So a couple of days we just, stayed in a little closer and did the mahi and the sea lions and all that stuff.
So I'm just trying to get a visual of this because I love sardine bait balls. How big would you say this bait ball was?
Kind of how they form is. Yeah, and I'm no expert, just know what people have told me and everything, a little bit of research. But all the sardines are are lower in the water column, like where you can't see them. There's just millions of them down there. And the whatever predator it is kind of works them up to the surface. Because if they're hunting them down low, the sardine have four ways to escape, you know, up, down, or sideways. But when they get them up to the surface, now they can't go up. So it kind of makes their hunting a little easier because they only can, you know, go three different ways away from them. And it was kind of funny because if you had the sea lions, I mean, sometimes you'd have a couple sea lions, sometimes maybe 30 sea lions that were all, you know, working these bait balls. Sometimes the bait balls were, you know, small, like the size of like a human. And sometimes they were like the size of, I don't know, like maybe like a 30-foot boat. You know, it really just depended. And then the sea lions would just like intertwine in them and just almost like they were dancing. It was really, really cool to see. But if the sea lions were on the bait, there would be no marlin. Like they didn't want to compete with each other kind of thing. So that like once we saw the sea lions, like, oh, there's going to be no marlin here. So we'd probably like go to, you know, find a different bait ball or look for it. You'd always look for the birds up top. That's how we found them. Because the, you know, the small pangas, they don't have like radar and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you just got to look for birds and you never know what you're going to find like once you hop in, you know. So that was pretty neat.
Totally. So I want to hit on something that you said between the competition of the sea lions and the marlin. Is there different predatory tactics? Do they try to avoid each other because there's not enough bait, or they get in each other's way?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think they don't want to compete with them because they're both, you know, pretty big animals. But the marlin were interesting because they would had an interesting hunting tactic. They would take turns. So let's say there was like 8 marlin in the area, there would be one that would be going through the bait, you know, hitting it. And then there would be like, it was like tiers, like there'd be 2 more marlin, like maybe 20 feet down. And then there would be like another 4 down at like 40, 50 feet. And they would kind of take turns. Like one would come up, go through for a little bit, then he would go down. Then the next, they kind of like just rise through the water column and take turns. So that was pretty cool.
That's really interesting. They had like a teamwork system in play. Oh, almost. Yeah.
Very smart.
Wow. And then with the sea lions, was it a similar thing or did they have a different tactic?
No, they're just all over the place. They're just, you know, they're just swimming through it and just all like going around. They really didn't notice like a real hunting tactic with them. They were more like just freelancing around, it seemed like. But there was at one point where, you know, you don't want to get too close to the bait ball. I mean, you do to get a picture, but the big bait balls wouldn't follow you so much. But then when the bait ball would get smaller, they would start coming to you for shelter. So you had to be real careful, pay attention where that bait ball was and try to stay a little ways away from it because you didn't want. I had one point I took some pictures and I thought I backed up, you know, 20, 30 feet so I could just view what I had just shot. And I had my face down in the camera, just doing my thing. And I got like, I didn't realize the bait ball had actually was on my back. So then the sea lion just smoked me, just hit me in the back really hard and like scared the crap out of me. It didn't like bite or anything, but just gave me a good bump, you know?
Oh my gosh. Especially if you were like focused in on the camera and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Were they aggressive at all with the mahi? Did they eat any or anything like that?
I didn't see the sea lions didn't eat any of the mahi really, and the marlin didn't eat any mahi that I had noticed. I'm sure they would though if, you know, it gave them the opportunity. But there's so much sardine there that they're really just focused on that.
Were the mahi in with the marlin as well, or did they kind of shy away?
There would be a few mahi with the marlin, but because the marlin were out so much deeper, we really didn't see them interact like in crazy numbers. Like when we were closer to shore, where the sea lions and the mahi were, that's where the big numbers of mahi were you're seeing. So like we're out where the marlin were, maybe, you know, another 10, 15 miles. We only saw like a few marlin or mahi out there.
Okay, that makes sense. Is this your first time going and doing a trip like this there?
Yeah, first time to Mag Bay. And yeah, it was something I've been wanting to do for a while, and it was definitely worth it. Definitely me going back for sure. Because we only had that one day of marlin action. So I think I definitely need to go back and get, you know, because it was just a weird season. So it'd be good to go back and get like a proper season with, you know, different kind of action. They did have, our group didn't get it, but a few of the groups got some bride's whales and humpback whales coming through and crushing the bait. So that would have been pretty cool to see, but we weren't fortunate enough to see that.
Do you think that the weather had an impact on it, like the seasonal changes?
I think that hurricane really messed it up because it came so close to the coast that it did something to the water temperatures. And I think it might have pushed some of the bait and the marlin out farther because the hurricane was so close to the coast and just made everything just a little harder to reach.
Do you think there were less sardines because of that?
I don't think there was less sardines. There was a lot of sardines. I just think it just changed where they were, in proximity to the coast.
Do you think that the hurricane affected the sardines at all on the size of the bait balls that they're usually in?
I don't think it affected the size of them so much because we saw big bait balls. We saw small bait balls. But I think it just made the bait move farther offshore due to water temps and that hurricane being so close to the coast. Literally like a week before we got there. And the water was actually very green. It was clear, but very green, which is very abnormal for that area.
Is there a season that's best to catch them when they're really packed in there?
Yeah. So basically it starts like, you know, every year is a little bit different, but mid-October is when they start to show up. And then the heavy season is like mid-November through into December, and they actually get them. They have them all the way, I think our captain was saying, into like February, but the weather, the seas also start getting rougher because it's winter. So it's a little more difficult to go after them. But yeah, you see the sport fishes out there and they're landing like 100, 200 fish a day sometimes like that. There's many out there. So yeah, it's pretty cool. We didn't quite have that action, this year, but in years past, that's the kind of numbers they were catching.
And with the mahi, were there any size to them? Were there any big bull mahi on the balls or anything?
No, they were mostly like in that 5 to maybe a 15 pounder range, but you know, just seeing 100 of them, 200 of them, you know, all underneath and just crushing through, just, oh man, it was really neat. I really wanted to get a good picture of something like that, you know, one busting through, but it was really hard.
Yeah. Real life National Geographic. Oh my gosh.
Yep. Actually, Lisa, my wife, another Salt Life team member, she got an unreal photo of a mahi like coming through the bait ball at her and with a sardine in its mouth and like creating like this little window in the bait ball. And she actually just won for the Underwater Photographer of the Year for the whole world. She just won Up and Coming Photographer of the Year for it. So
go Lisa.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of her. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That's so exciting. I'll have to go take a look at that picture she took.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I remember we were all on the boat. Like she was all giddy and sitting there on the boat looking at her camera. I'm like, what are you giggling about over there? And she's like, you got to see this. And then we saw it. We're like, oh, that's going to win something. That's crazy.
Oh, that's too cool. What was your favorite memory from the trip?
Ooh, favorite memory. I think just that one day where we had the really good marlin action. You know, we had about an hour, 2 hours of marlin action that day. And just the speed, the power, like the precision of them is just unreal. It is a little sketchy, a little scary at times because you want to get close to get a picture, but you don't want to get too close and the bait gets on you and, you know, you don't want to get speared by one of those things. It's not something that happens often, but there has been a couple incidences where that has happened. So, but yeah, just to see them in the water like that, you know, that was the reason we went, and that was definitely the highlight of the trip.
So what, I have a personal question. What is the main size of these marlins? Because I'm thinking, that was my first thought about, they're all riled up, they're hunting, and if you get in their way, they could potentially spear you on accident.
Yeah. So they're striped marlin. They're not like the big blue marlins, black marlin, stuff like that. They're a striped marlin. So they're a little smaller. I would say they're like probably in that 100 to 200 pound range, somewhere in there, you know, maybe like a 150 average. So not too big, but definitely big enough to to do some damage.
Yes. And I guess with their hunting tactics, they're focused, so they're not as crazy as the sea lions just darting around.
Yeah. I mean, they dart by pretty quick. Like, there was a few times where one of my buddies, the bait ball had followed him, and one of the marlins actually bumped him in the back. Did not with the bill or anything, but after that, he was like, I'm just going to stay back here and just take faraway pictures, because he got scared after that.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. So off of the Mexico trip, or including it, is there any major, like, highlights that you've gone through on all these incredible trips that you'd like to share with us? Like, something that is just an incredible experience you've had?
I mean, we've done, over the last 6 years, we've traveled to a lot of cool places. You know, we've always searching out, like, big animal marine life. You know, humpback whales, sperm whales. We've done orcas in Norway. What else? Those are, like, the three big ones. Bunch of other little stuff. But I think my favorite moment so far was, I think it was back in 2017, too. It was a while ago. Was doing the sperm whales in Dominica. And we had a great week of action, saw a lot of stuff, but we were at, like, 2 hours from having to, like, the last day of the trip, like, we got to go in 2 hours, and there was, like, a pod of six sperm whales, and then another pod of, like, another six that were, like, maybe, like, a quarter mile apart, and our guide was, some of the group wanted to get in the water, and some of us were, like, and our guide's like, let's just wait, see if they converge and come together. And they actually came together and were sleeping all upright, like tombstones, like all 12 of them. And that was just an animal that big, and like 12 of them right in front of you like that. Like, that was probably the highlight so far of anything I've ever seen. And then the one guy, the researcher on the boat, was like, all right, it's 3 o'clock. We got to go in, guys. And our guide's like, we're not going in. Like, we'll pay extra. We'll do what we got to do, but we're not going in. This is, like, unreal. This is why the guys came here. So they got into a little spat on the boat, but we ended up winning and stayed a little bit longer.
I remember seeing that photo, just, like, absolutely unreal. I can't imagine being in that moment. What were your emotions seeing that?
It's kind of, I mean, in the moment, you're just like, I mean, you're thinking about taking pictures, but, like, so in the moment, I don't think it's, like, holy crap, you know, but, like, when we got back on the boat and then, like, started really thinking about it and everyone's talking, it's like, wow, we were just in the middle of that pod sleeping. Like, how many people in their life, you know, very small number of people in this world that ever get to see something like that. So we were just super fortunate and, yeah, very lucky.
I'm glad that your captain ended up winning on that, because that sounds like a once in a lifetime experience that, yeah. if you're not the right person, you don't maybe not grasp that doesn't happen very often, and you want to make the most of it.
Yeah. He actually became a good friend, but he had been guiding there for 8 years, and he said that was probably his best interaction in the 8 years he's been guiding there. So, I mean, for him to say that, it was definitely something special.
Was it their time to rest, or how do you think you got them all while they were sleeping?
It's kind of random. They run this deep, there's Dominica, the shelf drops off really fast there, and they hunt the squid that are down at like 2,500, 3,000 feet. So sometimes they're eating, sometimes they're sleeping, sometimes they're playing. It was just a little mix of everything. So I think it was just a random lucky occurrence that we got to see them. But we actually would go out in the morning and have we have these hydrophones. So we would put them in the water and we'd listen for the clicks. And like, okay, that means that they're within 5 miles. And then we would put the other microphone down that had like pretty much a big metal salad bowl on it. And that was our directional one. So we would point it around until we found what direction they were. And then we would just go a mile at a time and keep putting it in until we saw the spouts. And that's how we would find them. So, It was pretty neat little thing.
That's really cool. I'm glad you guys got to see it and stay and embrace the moment that you were able to capture. So you mentioned your Antarctica trip coming up. Do you have any other upcoming trips, whether they be small, local, anything?
Nothing. I mean, we always do some spearfishing. down in the Keys. So we'll do some of that throughout the year, just randomly. Might go, we're trying to save money for our guys. We're trying to be good and not go anywhere. But might go out to do some whale shark diving this summer. So we'll see if that pans out. I don't want to jinx it yet, but if it happens, it could be pretty cool.
Oh, well, that's cool. I hope you guys enjoy trying to lay low. I know it's like impossible when your hobbies are being in the salt water, because pretty much it all costs money and it's addicting. So
it is very addicting. But we've been focusing on the house a little bit, trying to do some, you know, remodeling and whatnot. So we're staying busy for sure.
Totally. Well, give us a shout of your social medias and Lisa's as well, so we can go see that awesome mahi picture.
Yeah, my Instagram is J Ferreira Gallery, and Lisa's is Bobcat Lisa.
Awesome. Okay, thanks so much for being on, James. We really appreciate you taking the time to share about your trip with us, and look forward to getting you back on for the Antarctica trip.
All right, sounds good. Good talking to you, Shane.
Good talking to you.
Thanks for listening in to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Salt Life. If you've enjoyed this episode, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast to help spread the word. And remember, stay salty.